Good morning. My name is Bailey, and this is City Daily. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, we read the words of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if you were willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I didn't grow up going to church much, but I did grow up in Oklahoma in the 1990s, so that means I knew about Garth Brooks. I remember hearing his song, Unanswered Prayers, for the first time in my bedroom when I was in elementary school. And even though I was young, it made me realize how even something we could pray for might not be exactly what was best for us, and that time would give us a better perspective. Garth Brooks' lyrics in the song may not be grammatically true, but I would echo his sentiment in the chorus, which says, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." Sometimes we think God isn't present just because he doesn't answer us in the ways that we would want him to. So how does Lent help us value unanswered prayer? What if the Father had answered Jesus's prayer for this to be taken away from him? Obviously, if that had happened, we wouldn't be discussing Lent. And I'm grateful that Christ ultimately died for us and that the perfect will of the Father came to pass. Sometimes in our lives, hard things happen. And when we go to prayer, sometimes we are doing so in an anguish, heartbreaking, and gut-wrenching way. And God promises that he hears us. We can take our raw prayers to him. Have you ever prayed with someone when they are at their lowest point? It's so hard to watch those you love and care for suffering, knowing that helping them is sometimes beyond your control. We can pray with them, extend our compassion, even sometimes to the point of tears, and agree with them that God's will would be done in their lives, trusting that he is in control. I think of how lonely Christ may have felt when his disciples were unable to stay awake and pray with him. The crowds that had surrounded him much of his time, and then here he was, sweating blood, seemingly alone. Sometimes in our hardest moments, it's truly just us and God, and we're praying our most grievous prayers. God had a much greater purpose for Christ, and that passage is all about surrendering to God's will and to Christ's lordship. What Jesus was doing here ends up being a model of prayer for us. He is pouring his heart out and he is surrendering to the Father. We can pray, relinquishing our short-sighted, narrow vision for our lives and instead say, "I trust you and I trust that you have a higher plan. You are with me even in my suffering." Most of us have had moments of either in pain or wondering where God is in a given situation. For me, I've suffered with a few health conditions that are chronic and don't have easy solutions. Some involve when I was in a car accident a month after I married my husband that forever changed my life. As a result, I had a few problems which took about 2 years to fully diagnose, and I still suffer in my body every day. In fact, there's not been a single night that I've slept completely through the night since the accident as a result of a kidney disease that was caused from the impact. There have been many challenging moments and agonizing seasons with my health. It feels often like so much has been stolen from me. There have been many pity parties and times of crying out to God, asking for another way, a time of relief, and to not have to suffer. While I absolutely believe that it is God's will to heal, I have a hope that even in my hardest present suffering moments, that he is with me. He is with me when I have felt forsaken. He is with me when I'm in physical pain, when I'm alone, when I'm anxious and sleep deprived, when I think that I can't keep going. He is there, and that is my hope. When I can come before him honestly and with no pretense, I know that he hears me. I know his grace enables me to be filled with joy, even if there's pain in my body or circumstances seem to overwhelm me. The Apostle Paul writes about facing a challenge in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, when he says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There's many assumptions about what the thorn might have been for Paul, but we know that he was tormented. We know that he asked for it to be taken away. And yet, through this process, Paul too learned that he could persevere in those hardships because God's grace was with him. God weaves our suffering and pain into his redemptive story, and he gives us a hope that as we relinquish control to him, that our hope is that he is faithful to perform his words. And that means that even if it doesn't happen on this side of eternity, we can know that he will be faithful. I may have gained a perspective from the song Unanswered Prayers, but I know that when I meet Jesus face to face, there will be a perspective far greater than I can imagine now. I want to pray for us. Jesus, I pray for those who are listening today. I pray that they would find comfort that you are with them and that you are for them. To those who find themselves suffering in their bodies, in their minds, in their souls, or just in the circumstances that surround them, I speak your peace and I speak your hope. May they surrender to your ways and trust that you are good, even in this present moment. I pray grace for them to relinquish control and to surrender to your will. We say we trust you and we love you. Amen.